Hello and welcome to this monthly session of the Advisor Pact monthly session. This is the time we get together each month to go through questions that you have submitted. And what I do each month is I go through and select questions that I think are the most relevant for the entire group. And then we go through it together. Just to give you a summary of what this Advisor Pact monthly program is all about, it's really three things. This program is about resolving to deliver truly comprehensive financial services, not just at any level, but at a level that is designed to consistently exceed client expectations. So it's about a type of service and it's about a level of service. And then to execute that. And as we've talked about in this program, in these sessions, even this within the last 6 months, we've talked quite a bit about execution. If there's a failure in this program, it's simply a failure to execute. We show you how to fill your team and build your team in 30 days or less. You'll need an administrative manager and 5 subject matter experts. You'll need a budget for an administrative support person. That takes a couple of weeks to fill that position. And then within 2 weeks, you can hire your entire team of 5 subject matter experts. And you do not need to have a budget for that because your clients will pay for that. The team knows that. They get paid when you have an ideal client that has agreed to join your ideal client community. And then leadership. So there's quite a bit in this program about how to lead a team like this. In other words, how to hold everyone accountable to your high standards so that the team goal is achieved. And again, the team goal is to consistently exceed all your ideal clients' expectations. So in this way, you are delivering service that's not available anywhere else. You become the only game in town. And if you'll consistently tune in to this monthly session, show up ready to learn, ready to execute, and submit your questions. There's no reason in this program for you to not be making forward progress. You have access to me. Just submit your questions and begin moving forward. So here are the three questions that I picked for this month. We're going to go through each of the three of these. We might go a little bit long today. Can't tell. I just noticed that when in answering these three questions, it required quite a few slides to go through these. So look these over and we will just start at the top. Why don't we just start with first things first. So in listening to Bill, now when this advisor says listening to Bill, is referring to Bill Bachrach. Okay. In listening to Bill speak about service, when he says, I'll do everything for you, does this mean that I'm paying for tax preparations or wills and trusts to be created as a part of my client fee? This is a question that we respond to a couple of times a year. And it's just for some reason, it always comes up. I clarify this but we're always getting new people to the program. So it's one of these questions that I think must be very confusing. And that is when a client hires you and, you know, what is it that we're actually promising? What is it that radically differentiates us from other advisors? You know, what is it that we're going to be doing to deliver truly comprehensive financial services at the highest level? Does that mean that when a client needs literally anything, I'm paying to implement all those services through all those other professionals that are going to need to be brought in to implement the client's financial affairs? No, that is not what I'm teaching. it is what you can do. I mean, it's certainly a business model to do, to set up your business that way, but that is not what I am now recommending, nor have I ever. So let's go through it carefully. You get to draw these lines. Now, there are some ground rules to drawing the lines of what you do and what you aren't going to do. In other words, where does the line drawn that is involved in the services that I'm going to provide for my fee versus, you know, things that the client's going to have to go out and pay for separately. All right. So let me just clarify first and foremost what we have always said. I have never said that it's your promise to do everything for your ideal client. That's a misinterpretation. So your promise is not to do everything for your ideal client. What your promise is to make sure that everything gets done. Now, I need you to pause a minute and think about this. Do you understand the distinction here? Do you understand the difference between promising to do everything for your client versus promising to make sure that everything gets done? All right. So to me, it's very clear, but I've learned over the years, it takes some people, you have to think about it for a minute. So your promise is to make sure everything gets done. So technically, what you're promising is to pay for none of the actual implementation work. All right. So that's the starting point. And I just, the proviso is, except for those additional services you decide to throw in on top. So you're going to make sure everything gets done, and you're going to throw in some things on top if you choose. Okay. But the starting point is you're just going to make sure everything gets done. Now, the one thing that we do recommend that comes as a part of your service, and this frankly is the service, it's to create and update their comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, what many of you have for years called a financial plan, okay? Except that we don't call it a financial plan in this program. Why? Isn't financial plan the general industry accepted term for what we're creating for our client? Well, maybe so, but it has no industry definition. In other words, there is no industry standard for a well-designed, well-documented, well-custom-tailored financial plan. What certified financial planners learn how to do is something called the financial planning process. And so it is thorough and it is robust. I'm not saying that it's not. What I'm saying is that the outcome of that process is not a financial plan that's defined in the industry. Okay. So we call what we produce for the client a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, otherwise known, because that's a mouthful. But when we're talking just day to day with clients, we call it their overarching plan. Okay, so when you put together an overarching plan for a client, that is your service. Now, you can, and most advisors do, throw some additional implementation services in for the fee on top of the creation and the annual update of that overarching plan. Okay. But what's really important here is that your client understand where the line is. So here's the most important thing about all of this, other than if you misinterpret what I'm saying here and you throw everything in, you're going to have to price yourself, your services very, very high in order to be profitable. Okay. So it's important that your clients understand that there are some clear, bright lines on what is covered in your fee for the service that you're providing and what's not covered. They need to understand where that line is. Okay. So here's the way I've always explained it. The traditional financial services model is that your ideal client is the one that's responsible for going out and building their own team. The client goes out and hires a tax accountant, a money manager, financial planner, and so forth. You know, if a client has all these people on their financial team when they meet you, who's coordinating them? They are, you know, it's how many times have you ever come across a financial advisor who says, oh, I'll coordinate the client's team. I'm on the phone regularly with the client's accountant. And I always talk to the client's estate planning attorney about estate planning issues. And I'm the one that has stepped up and offered to the client, you know, I will coordinate your team, Mr. and Mrs. Client. No, the client's coordinating. If a client has all these people in their life, the client is the one coordinating them. That's the traditional model. And there are some usual gaps. Whenever I deal with an affluent client or whenever I interact or just meet with someone, if I'm sitting next to someone on an airplane and they're affluent, the usual gaps are these. They don't have a plan. And when I say plan, I mean comprehensive written financial strategy, you know, a lifetime strategy that is constantly being updated. And therefore, without a plan, there is no way, typically a usual gap is there's no way to measure success. So when I ask someone, an affluent person, so are you on track or off track to all your goals? They go, I'd say I'm on track. I'm on track, really. And I'll say, scale of 1 to 10, how organized is your financial house? And typical affluent person might say, oh, I'd say, seven or eight out of 10. Great. What would it take to get from a 7 or an 8 to a 10? Well, there's a few things that need to be. Okay. So there's no plan. There's no measurement of success. In other words, no way to determine if they're on track or off track. And there's no oversight. In other words, left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. If there are objectives of the client, and there almost always are, you know, the client doesn't typically do a very good job of informing the tax accountant, I'd like you to speak with my estate planning attorney about my objectives. And if I had a financial plan created, I put it up on the shelf and it's gathering dust. It's not like, you know, they have their money manager it's not like all these people are communicating with each other and making sure that every recommendation they make is perfectly aligned with the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. No, that does not happen typically. So there are lots of gaps for you to fill. That's the opportunity. And so most advisors hold themselves out. And when I say advisors, I mean certified financial planners. Most financial planners hold themselves out to their clients as one-man band. You know, I'm a one-stop shop. I am an expert in all things. I am an expert in tax. I am an expert in estate planning. I am an expert in money management. I'm an expert in all areas of finance, it's just me. I'm a one-man band, and I by myself will create your financial plan. Okay. Well, call clients skeptical. Affluent people are skeptical of the one-man band business model. So in comes our model. We promise to orchestrate the client's team. Okay, so we've got a team in place. We're not a one-man band. We are promising to orchestrate a team of skilled professionals in all areas of personal finance in order to create a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, which gives us a way to determine whether we're on track or off track. And my role is to create that plan and to hold everyone accountable to make sure that everything gets done. So our deliverables team structure that's different is between the client's and the team that's creating the overarching plan is me. I'm the single, simple point of contact. That makes it much, much simpler for the client. And then I have a team that is designed to do two things, primarily create the strategy, to create the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, and to provide oversight. So our job is to make sure everything gets done. And I call my team the oversight team. because my team is responsible for strategy and oversight. And Mr. and Mrs. Client, I know you have financial people in your life currently. You've got a tax accountant, you've got, let's say, a money manager, you've got an estate planning attorney, and you've got, of course, insurance agents. You've got your auto and your homeowners and whatever life insurance you've accumulated over the years. So I've got my team. My team is there to create the plan and to reach out to your team to coordinate with them and to make sure that they understand exactly what the objectives are and they understand what the plan is, so that when they come with recommendations, it's just a slight variation from what they've done in the past. They just basically contact my point of contact on my oversight team whenever they've got a recommendation. So my tax SME is going to reach out to their tax SME, coordinate with them, make sure that they understand what we've been hired to do, and then assure them, we're there to make sure things are better for them. And so, to let us know if ever you need something from the client, alert us. We're meeting with the client constantly. We meet with the client 3 times a year. We are meeting with the client once every 4 months. So from now on, I don't know how hard it's been to get the documents that you need to do your job, Mr. or Mrs. Accountant, but in the future, just contact me whenever you need anything. And I promise you, I will get it from the client and have it delivered to your office. So we are the oversight team, and all the recommendations flow from the client's team to our point of contact on our team. So just to make sure that the recommendation that the client's financial people are going to be making in the future are perfectly aligned with the plan that did not exist before, but now it does. And now we can't just have recommendations thrown out willy-nilly. We need to make sure that before recommendations are implemented, that they are well coordinated and well aligned with the plan now that it exists. Okay, so what are the services that I provide? Well, I tell my clients, okay, so I'm going to create the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, otherwise known as the overarching plan. And I choose on top of that, and I draw a clear bright line for the client. In addition to that, I am going to cover the investment management. In other words, I will pay the fees for all your investment implementation. Now, in the agreement, what my agreement says is I'm going to pay all the management fees to the money managers up to 20 buy and sell transaction fees per year. It's very rare when a client of ours needs to trade, maybe 10 buys and 10 sells, like turnover like that. It's very unusual if a client needs more activity than that. We house our clients' assets at TD Ameritrade, soon to be Schwab. So there's a transaction fee for buys and sells. We have chosen to cover up to 20 of those transaction fees, plus the investment managers' fees. Okay, so that's what we pay for, and if we had clients, like I've had clients in the past that work for big corporation like AT&T or Apple Computer, and they come in as a client and they've got hundreds of thousands of shares of AT&T or Apple Computer, and then so it becomes a chore, part of our job to start diversifying that. And of course, if the transactions in that plan exceed 20, well, then I disclose to the client, you'll be paying those transaction fees. I don't even remember what they are anymore, but it's a flat fee, flat transaction fee. So there are clients that get charged for transaction fees under my service, but I have been clear to define the limit, once they get fully invested in the model that that I'm going to put in place for them, it'll settle down. And after that, it's very seldom. It's never. I don't think I've ever had more than 20 transactions in a year for a normal year for a client after we've gotten all the allocation put in place. So anyway, that's the investment. And then this is very unusual. Like, we promise something that most advisors don't, and I'm not recommending that you do. I don't really have an opinion about this. It was a business decision. I do cover tax preparation for my clients as a part of my fee. Now, I charge $45,000 per year. So why do I cover tax preparation? Well, because when I studied what the costs were to provide this service, I found, this is a business decision that I made, I found that the value exceeds the cost. In other words, how the client perceives the value of me offering to do their tax preparation versus what it's actually costing me, which is typically, it depends on what area of the country it is, because, we had offices all over the country at one point, but, it costs between $2,500 and $3,500 a year on average, my cost. So, I pay for the tax preparation. And what I've learned is that if I agree to cover that, the perception of the client is, you're covering my taxes too. I don't know if this is one of these psychological things where people are making a decision to hire you on emotion, and then they're kind of rationalizing and backing into the rationale as to why it was a good decision in their own head. But I can tell you this, over the years, even if a client's got their own accountant and they don't end up using my offer to do their tax preparation, the fact that I offered and the fact that it's covered under our fee, I can just tell you for certain that the value exceeds the cost. And so I get more than $3,500 of value for the cost that it costs me to provide that. And by the way, it's not unlimited. I do limit the service to what we're going to cover is the 1040. And if you're in other countries, I have to remind our American advisors, we have people listening to this in Australia and UK and South Africa, but in the US, the things that you'll probably understand what I'm talking about if you're an advisor in the US, I will prepare the 1040, the Schedule A, which is itemized deductions, Schedule B, Schedule D, capital gains and losses, but there'll be a fee for anything else. So like if they own a business or they file a Schedule C, or if they have, depreciation schedules, things like that, we charge additionally for that work. But the reason that I like offering tax is because it's a profit center for me, that just in the normal course of providing basic tax preparation, yes, clients value it highly if we, that we just throw it in as a part of our service, but we have enough business owners to where the actual fees over and above the things that I'm paying for on their tax preparation, in other words, there's a fee for additional schedules, that has been, since the first year I rolled this out, a profit center. The very first year I rolled this out, that profit center paid for all of my SMEs. In other words, just offering tax and then being able to charge for additional for more complex tax returns. The handful of clients that had more complex tax returns, like, paid for all the compensation that I was paying for all five SMEs. I mean, it was stunning. So anyway, the point is, be clear. So I am offering investment management and basic tax preparation on top of my offer to create the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. So you get to draw the lines. You promise to pay for none of the actual implementation work except for those additional services you decide to throw in. It's important that you draw clear, bright lines so that every ideal client is crystal clear where the line is. And here's how I explain mine. I'll hold everyone accountable and I will make sure everything gets done in your financial strategy so that you don't have to. It'll be a huge time saver for you. What our fee covers is the gaps in your current plan, which you will admit There is no comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, which I agree to create an update. And that will give us a way to measure success. And so I will open every meeting with you with these words. You'll be happy to know you're on track to every goal that you've shared with me. And you can be confident that if ever you drift even slightly off track, I'll be the one at the opening of the meeting to say, well, you've drifted off track at this meeting, but not to worry, before we leave this meeting, I've come prepared with all the action items necessary to get you back on track. So we've come with the plan that's going to be implemented to get you back on track. So I will make sure all of that gets done, and I'll cover your investment management fees, and I'll cover your basic tax preparation. And I'll ensure that everyone on your financial team, your accountant, your estate planning lawyer, and so forth, are alerted when your objectives have changed and or are updated. And then, of course, you'll pay your existing financial team for any work that they do, as you always have. Okay, so that's how you explain that. All right. I don't see any questions. Well, let's see. There are a couple of questions. I would love to have this slide available to use. Extremely helpful. More specifically, oversight and implementation slide. Absolutely. When this is posted on the Advisor Pack monthly site, I'm saying the replay of this session, which will be in the next couple of days. Andrew, I will make sure that it has the a PDF of these slides. So you'll have these slides. You can just copy them and use them. And I'm assuming you use the slide deck with your clients. We have not really talked about that before, but it's a perfect segue to the next issue that I'm going to bring up today. I always have a PowerPoint available. Now, with some clients, if it's a simple recommendation, maybe I won't use the PowerPoint, but I always have it. And if a client is struggling with what I'm recommending, then I've got a PowerPoint ready to display, to show them. Like, usually it's graphically what it is that I'm recommending. And so I think in PowerPoint. I learned long ago, PowerPoint's kind of like just outlining for me. And the idea of creating a PowerPoint is very compelling and very visual. Most people are visual. And I love the fact that you said you'd like the slide, because that implies to me you're using slides with your clients, or at least with those clients that are so highly visual that that it really helps them to see it visually. Okay, next question. I have 6 current clients who are potential ideal clients. How do you explain to them that truly comprehensive financial services is worth the higher fee? Well, I have a slide deck for this, and I'm going to, this is the first time I think I've ever done this for the Advisor Pack Monthly group. We do this in our flagship program, the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. We do provide slide decks for certain issues in there, because I like slide decks, and I've got tons of them that I think are helpful in presenting complex issues. But I am going to share my slide deck with you for this explanation to a potential ideal client of, this idea that you'd like to move them from the way you have been working for them into the new way of doing things, which is truly comprehensive financial services. Now, as I said, I do PowerPoints, and I'm going to change the view. And again, this is the first time I've ever done this in this program. I'm going to change this to the presenter view. So if you go in your, if you're using PowerPoint, if you're using Keynote, you're on your own. But if you're using PowerPoint, there is a checkbox that you can check. You'll have to Google and figure out where it is. I think it's in a section called slideshow. Let me just get out of this and see if I can find it just real quick. It's called slideshow. If you go to slideshow, you need 2 monitors to use presenter view. So you select the monitor that you're going to be presenting the main slideshow. And then presenter view shows up in the other monitor. Okay. So it's good for things like this. Well, like when I'm talking to you, I get this view. Let me get out of here. Yeah. So like when I'm doing a presentation like this to you, I see this view. So you're looking at the main slide, which is this right here. And then I'm able to see what the next slide is. So this is called presenter view. Now, the only reason I'm going to switch to this view for you right now is because I've got some scripting. So, you know, in PowerPoint, you can put your notes under each slide. And some of these slides that I'm going to be going through have some scripting. And now I'm going to read the scripting to you, but I want you to be able to always go back to this webinar and see, you know, this is how Mark delivers this, what we call, and it's actually Bill Bachrach that coined this terminology. We call this moving from the old world to the new world. And so what you've done, this advisor has six clients that he thinks are potential ideal clients that he would like to move from the old world to the new world. And so it's basically just a presentation where you're explaining to clients that up in the past, here's how I've served you. And I've got this new level of service called, you know, whatever you're calling it. Now, I recommend you not call it ideal client level service. You could, and I think a lot of advisors do, but, you know, just it's better if you brand it and you come up with a name for that service. But in the for the purposes of this, and so that clients can understand that it is two separate and distinct services, we are calling it moving from the old world to the new world. And of course, I'm not showing what I'm showing to you to the client. I'm showing the other slide to the client. The only reason I'm showing this to you is that before you sit down in a meeting in the office with a client, you know, you can practice this. And also, the way I've always done this in my office is I have a laptop in front of me whenever I'm showing a slide deck. I have it off to the side so it doesn't encumber the space, you know, between me and the client. I have it off to the side, but angled so the client can't see the screen. I have it way out of the way, but I am able to glance over and look and see what the next slide is. And by the way, in the presenter view, you can adjust this. You can make it to where the next slide showing is quite large. So you can actually read the detail of if it's a slide that's got a lot of information on it, you can actually read it. So let me just, I'll slip into advisor mode. And this is the way I walk a client through this. Okay. Ted and Lynn Smith. Ted, Lynn, I have developed a new level of service. We are upgrading our service levels to a tremendous degree. And I want to walk you through it because I think you're a good fit for this new level of service. Now, I call this moving from the old world to the new world because it's just a way of thinking of this. The way I have been serving you in the past, I'm calling that the old world. So, and by the way, pause just for a minute. I did call up this advisor to get a briefing. So this is the one thing on this slide deck that I am going to provide you. So you're going to get this slide deck. The only warning that I put on this slide deck, which I showed you a minute ago, is the photographic images, which I have not shown any yet, but I'll flag them when we get to them. You'll get it with the photographic images, but they're licensed to me. Like I downloaded them from some service and I read the license carefully. I'm able to use it with my clients, but I can't give it to you to use with your clients. So I am giving it to you, but I'm warning you, you need to replace those photographic images with ones of your own. So, but thankfully you can go on to iStock or deposit photos or any of a number of photo imaging sites, and you can find probably the exact same image that, and you just need to pay whatever the fee is for the licensing. Okay. So back to this, Ted and Lynn. So in the old world, in other words, what I've been doing for you up till now is I've been meeting regularly with you to meet you and update you on your progress. So we meet regularly twice a year, annual meeting, annual review and mid-year review. And I have a certified financial planner on staff. Now, this advisor, I called him up because what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to edit the old world. Each one of you has the old world. If you have a potential ideal client that you're moving from the old world to the new world, you're going to have to go on to this slide and you're going to have to update what the old world has been for them. So I'm just telling you, I called this advisor. I said, so what have you been doing for them in the past? And he walked me through it. So I built this slide around the advisor who submitted this question. Okay, so our certified financial planner on our staff has been updating your strategy annually, and we provide investment selection and ongoing investment management. So, and as you can see on the slide over here, I can see what the next thing is going to be, so I know what's coming. And so then when I hit it, then the client can see it up on the wall. And we establish a list of action items and recommendations that are required for you to remain on track to all your goals. So I think you'll agree, this is what we've been doing for you over the years. Would you agree? Can you think of anything that we do consistently beyond these four things that you value, that you think are you know, indispensable to you, things that we do that you like. And then, so I let the client go through and describe that. So once we confirm what the old world has been, I tell them, we are significantly upgrading your level of service. So we do have a new service, and if there's no additional fee, you put that. Usually there will be an additional fee. So this is where, you know, if it's not going to be for an additional fee, this particular advisor, he had six people that are already paying in excess of the amount of his minimum. So for him, he was able to deliver the good news with no additional fee. If you are moving as I did, like my 17 ideal clients, when I started out, I had 17 prior clients and I went through the old world to new world conversation with them. And you would, in my case, I would omit and delete with no additional client fees. Okay. So if you do, if you're moving someone, let's say from, like in my case, moving them from maybe they were paying me $25,000 per year in the old world, and my new world services are $45,000. Well, then, you know, that's what this slide presentation is here to announce and to, you know, tell them, I think this is a good fit for you and here's why. But to alert them that if you'd like to move to the new world, there is a difference in fee. So that's why you have to customize this particular slide to describe what your old world is. And then if you are moving up in fee with a potential ideal client, then you will omit that phrase that says with no additional client fees. Okay. So what would the new world involve? Well, the new world is, first of all, let me assure you, we're going to continue to meet regularly with you to update you on your progress. But because of the enhanced services, we're going to need to meet with you one additional time. So rather than two times a year, as this advisor was doing, we're going to pick up the pace of those meetings, and we're going to meet every 4 months. So that means that in the future, in the new world, we're going to meet every 4 months, three times a year. All right. And our certified financial planner continues to update your strategy and your investments annually. So we're still going to update your plan and update your investments as we have in the past. But what I am doing is I'm bringing in three additional skilled planners. They are specialists in narrow fields of finance so that they can oversee your strategies and tactics at a much deeper and more specialized level. But from your perspective, the big difference between the old world and the new world is this one right here. In the new world, with the new level of service, if you agree to move forward into this new level of service, I will agree to, in the future, be responsible for making sure everything on your list gets done. So in the past, when we've met twice a year, I have generated a list of action items and recommendations that are required for you to remain on track. With this addition of these new team members, the amount of action items on that list is likely to grow and likely to grow dramatically. But what I'm promising you is, unlike in the past, when I create a list of action items and recommendations, and then I hand it over to you at our meetings, and then I agree to hold you accountable to getting all those things done. Well, in the future, I'm going to agree to be the one responsible for making sure all of these things get done. And there will be the quality and the quantity of the recommendations will be there will be higher. So there will be more of these to-dos after every one of our meeting. But now we have a bigger team. And if you choose to do so, I will assign these tasks to other people on your financial team. So, you know, let me just go through and show you what I mean by the team. And by the way, we call this New World Service Truly Comprehensive Financial Services. So now let me go over here, and you can see in the scripting part in the notes, this is why I'm showing it to you. I practice and I script these presentations out. And so for many of these slides, I do have scripting. Given all that I know about you and what you're trying to achieve, I'd like to begin offering you what we call truly comprehensive financial services. I've had a long-term plan to escalate into this upgraded level of service, and I've decided that right now is the time to increase this service level to you. And just to let you know, there will be no, you know, you'll be relieved to know there are no increased fees for you for this. I just need your okay on an agreement that will allow me to provide this service to you. Okay. And as far as my role, it moves from actually working with our certified financial planner and doing your financial plan. I will now begin to orchestrate a much larger team so that, you know, my role is also changing in this, that because there's a more complex set of services, okay, so this is what I wrote for this advisor. Let me walk you through the high level of these improvements, most of which will involve hiring some new, highly skilled financial specialists onto the team. Now, in the past, I've done most of the professional work for you alone or alone with my certified financial planner. But going forward, in addition to my work, I'm adding several new professionals who are going to work along with me to update your strategies and to provide oversight on even more areas of your financial life than I've been able to keep an eye on in the past. And I have not been able to reach out to your financial people. So my role has evolved from doing all the work behind the scenes to the point now with this upgraded service, I am going to orchestrate and oversee the team implementing all the work for you, which is going to free me up to do a bunch of things for you that I've always wished I had more time for. Things as, you know, I've always wanted to sit down and be able to review your other financial affairs and talk to your other financial people in your life, like your accountant, coordinate with them more closely. I'll have time to do that now. I'll invest time reading through your clients' benefits at work. So I know you have a ton of benefits. I just haven't had the time to sit down and go through them page by page. Now I will have the time to do that. I'll also have time to oversee and advise on things like major purchases and to look at both the purchase strategy and the tax strategy a little more closely than I've been able to in the past. But in general, I'll be able to spend more time going through the financial affairs of yours at an even deeper level than before. And I will now have a skilled team that will actually free me up so that I can do that. So in the past, I've had my financial planner and money manager. The new roles that I'm filling is I am bringing in onto my oversight team a tax accountant, an estate planning lawyer, and a risk and safety expert, someone that's knowledgeable in insurance, but their main goal is to take the plan that we create and to to do a comprehensive safety review to increase the safety of the plan on a continuous basis. So it's a risk and safety expert. So these are the new team members. And, you know, they will all, you know, we've grown to the point that I'm hiring a full team in all areas of finance for those times that you need a specialist, and they will be involved in creating your overarching strategy. Now, in addition to having skilled people responsible for updating your financial plan and managing your investments, you know, we are adding three subject matter experts so that we're fully covering all five areas of your personal finance so that the need, when the need in your plan arises, we're adding a certified public accountant to serve as your tax planning subject matter expert. I'm hiring an attorney to serve as your estate planning subject matter expert. And I'm also bringing in a risk and safety expert, someone with an insurance and risk background, as I said. So these three new team members will be an integral part of your primary team that's routinely updating your annual financial plan. And they're going to jump in regularly as the need arises. You'll see them show up in these client progress meetings regularly. For example, if you have a complex or tricky tax or estate planning issue, now we'll have a team member that can provide that specialized advice for you. So I'm going to give this to you so that you'll have the PowerPoint with the scripting and everything. Just to continue, at this point, I introduce my administrative manager. So I've also substantially upgraded your client support team, who are responsible for promptly responding whenever you contact us. And we've recently added two new client support people. You may have seen my emails from and you name your administrative manager, our relatively new administrative manager. She's happy to serve as your primary point of contact. And then you would basically show the picture of your administrative manager and they would show up on the slide deck. But I'm also pleased to announce to you that you name the name. Now, this particular advisor had an extra team member. So in our model, and we haven't covered it a lot in this, we have brought it up in these webinars a couple of times, but if like, you don't have to worry about right now if you don't have a director of client services, but just to kind of jump ahead, when you get to the point where you have acquired at least half of your ideal clients, you know, then that means that you're going to have a substantially higher level of revenue coming in than you do right now. But with the three meeting process, you're going to have, you know, three meetings. So when you've gotten to the point where you've acquired half of your ideal. So if you have a goal to acquire 50 ideal clients, once you have 25 ideal clients, we're going to recommend that you jump in and hire a director of client services. So for most of you out there that are not in a situation where you need a director of client services, you can ignore this. But I've scripted this out. In this case of this advisor, you know, he had a new staff person and someone that was skilled at a higher level to be a director of client services. Okay. So you'll have this with the org chart to be able to introduce and replace these images with images of your people that are on your staff. And if you don't have a director of client services on the slide, you just delete that little circle and delete all this image and then just move all this up. And so it's just you and an administrative manager. Now that's what we do recommend, that if you're going to try to serve ideal clients, don't try to do it without an administrative manager. Even if you can only hire a virtual assistant on a part-time basis, the first team member that you need to bring on board is an administrative manager. But as is common today, you can get a very high-skilled virtual assistant and only pay for the hours that you use. So if you only have three ideal clients or one ideal client, you can tell your virtual administrative manager that you're just going to pay for the hours that you need to for the ideal clients that you do have. So basically your clients are paying for the team. Okay. Now, keep going through this slide deck. And then this is the slide where you just tell them what the impact is on them or what you need from them. So in this case, he's saying, you know, I need you to sign an agreement. When I was going through this, I was having to tell 17 clients, this will mean In the old world, you were paying $25,000 per year. For the New World Services, if you decide to join that community and to upgrade to truly comprehensive financial services, it'll be $45,000. At least that's the story that I had. So this is the slide deck that I use. You'll be interested. I'm not going to go through it, but that accomplishes the old world to new world conversation. But I have also included the slide deck that I use to make the Advisor Pact pledge. So everyone in this program, you've gone through the module and you have available the essentials of the Advisor Pact. And we call this the Advisor Pact pledge that you make to clients. And so these, when I show things like this, or you saw the orchestra conductor before, these are photographic images that I have licensed, which you're going to have to replace. But I do provide them to you so you can see how I go through and make this pledge to the client. It's all scripted on the slide deck. You basically just go through it with a client. So PACT is an acronym: protection, attention, coordination, transparency. Those that are new to the program, where I got these is these are the four client expectations: protection, attention, coordination, transparency. And I've scripted exactly the way I say it to my clients in the scripting, and how you can do the same. But you're going to make this pledge to every client. And what you will find is that you, by making this promise, and I've got data to back this up, you will be the only game in town. That unless you are serving in the five boroughs of New York City, Manhattan, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Staten Island, unless you're in New York City, there are no other advisors statistically that are able or willing to make all four of these promises. I hired a research company, and I can tell you that the chances of a client acquiring and finding an advisor to make these promises the way that I've scripted them out here is statistically zero. So, so that gives you you have then earned the right. If you make this pledge and you promise to deliver on these things the way that I've scripted it in this slide deck, and you have a whole module on this called the Essentials of Advisor Pact. If you make this pledge, then you can confidently say, I'm the only advisor in town that offers this service. The chances of finding another advisor to step up and make these pledges to you is statistically zero. Other firms are either unable or unwilling to make all four of these pledges. You might find a firm that makes one of these pledges, but even two of them, it's almost statistically zero. And at three of these pledges, it is zero. Statistically, it is zero anywhere other than New York City. So, and even in New York City, it's under 1%. It's like not statistically zero, but it is, point something of 1%. So it's you, by making this pledge and sincerely agreeing to do these four things, you will be the only game in town, and you can say that. And I've given you the slide deck to go through and be able to talk about the three bottom line client outcomes and to make this pledge in such a way that that you won't have any other competition. You can look a client in the eye, and you can tell them seriously, look, you can go out and you can interview, how many times have you had a potential client come in and say, oh, I'm in the process of interviewing a handful of advisors that have been recommended to me. Really? How many advisors are on the list? Five. I've got five advisors on the list. Oh, great, great. Well, at the end of your little discussion with that potential client, you can say, well, I'd love to schedule a meeting for you, both of you and your spouse, to come in, bring in all your financial documents. I don't know precisely what you're looking for, but I can tell you that what we provide is truly comprehensive financial services. And if what you're looking for is what we are doing, then I can save you some time. There is no other financial advisor in town that comes anywhere close to doing what we do. So if you go through a financial roadmap with a client, with a potential client, and you get to the commitment to hire, and they tell you, I've got to interview a couple of other advisors. Well, if you make this advisor pack pledge, and that's a big if, because you got to look at it and make sure that you're willing to live up to all these things. You can look them in the eye and say, well, I can tell you right now, go interview all the advisors you want, but there's not a single advisor in town that is able or willing to make all to do what we do. So, all right, love to have this slide available. Okay, so. And I'm going through, pause with me for a second. I'm going through, there's some questions that I think we've already covered here. Okay, suggestions for framing when you have been way, way, way over delivering services and not been getting paid for them. So how do you basically wake up and start charging for it? Hence, client says, well, we've been getting these already. Okay, well, then you're in a pickle. And I would say, tell me specifically what those services are and we'll talk about it. What really prompted this was an advisor the previous week who has been doing just what you're saying. You know, they've been paying for all this stuff out of pocket. So, you know, all I can do is hope that when you promised to do all those things, that you priced it into your price so that your margins are good even after providing all that service. And if not, then, you know, you'll need to give me the details. We'll probably have to talk one-on-one about it. It's a real pickle. The one rule that has served me the best since the year 1999 is I made a decision and I told Bill Bachrach this, you know, this is what I was thinking of doing. And he's been fine with it. And it has served me probably better than any other rule that I've set for myself. It's that when I'm pricing, when I'm setting a fee for some financial product or service, I am not going to launch any financial service that doesn't have a minimum of a 50% profit margin. That's 50. So if when you go through and you calculate what your costs have been against the fees that you're charging, if you've got a 50% margin, you're good. You're fine. You know, then you made a business decision and it worked well for you and it is continuing to work well for you. So no need to change. But if you're providing implementation services to clients and if you were to try to get the client to start paying for those things, it would represent a change in service. I'm not saying you can't do it. As a matter of fact, if your margins are less than 50%, you really should and need to do it. But I just need a little more details of specifically, you're going to have to like go to the Advisor Pack Monthly site and click on contact. And there's a link where you not type it out, you just explain it to me. So it's like a little voicemail. And those are the only ones that ever get to me. So Andrew, if you could go to the Advisor Pack Monthly site, click on contact us and then click the link where you like make sure your microphone's on and just explain to me what the situation is and what your margins are providing the service that way. If your margins are under 50%, we need to definitely take it up. It's not a pleasant conversation, but hey, the clients realize with inflation and everything, I mean, it's whoever said that your fee would be the same forever. I mean, Bill Bachrach was the one that whacked me upside the head on this one back in the early 2000s. I said similar things that, you know, what if I have to sit down with a client and explain that we're increasing their fees? And Bill said, you know, what service ever offered to grandfather their fees forever? I mean, like your electric bill, do they promise to, you know, keep their fee for your electricity use static over the years? No. It goes up over time. I think there's a generally accepted understanding that, you know, things go up in price and there's a reason for that because our costs are going up, but I agree with you. It's not pleasant and it's not a fun conversation to have, but it's a necessary conversation to have if your margins are under 50%. Okay, so we'll deal with that one later. Well, anyway, what he's saying is I didn't actually promise. I did it. I just over-delivered. Well, that's fine. Then I would say I need to know more details if you need help with it, because if that's the case, then maybe there is not an expectation on their part that you do that, so that in the future, when it comes up, you could say, well, I'm sure you've been reading about inflation. Well, the fees are getting to the point where we're going to have to pass either all of it or part of the costs on to the client going forward. Reasonable clients will understand. All right. Back to the final question of the day. We are at the top of the hour, so I'll try to, this is quick. Thank God, my third question. I thought it was useful because it was such a stunner to me. This actually caught me off guard, and very little catches me off guard these days. I think I've seen everything over the 40 years in this industry. So this advisor communicates with me. I heard you mention several times that if revenue generation is my business objective, I need to be investing more than half of my hours each week face-to-face or on the phone with potential clients. In other words, client acquisition activities. I don't have that much time. What do you recommend? So he's basically coming at me with a premise that, new revenue generation is my business objective. But because of all my existing current clients, I don't have time to devote more than 50% of my hours to being face-to-face or on the phone with potential clients. Okay, so that's the premise. He's coming to me with that premise. So I called him up and I basically asked him, let's go through it. So there's 168 hours in a week. Like, how many hours do you sleep on average? How much time do you spend, a week with family and friends, like mealtime with family and just going out and eating lunch, stuff like that. So we got all that. What do you spend in terms of meetings with your clients and preparation for meetings with clients? So we went through the whole list. We went point by point through everything that, he just sat there and, he's speculating on these numbers, but we went through as much as we could think of until I said, is that it? Is there anything else you spend time on? And he was looking at the list on his screen. He said, no, I think that's everything. Are you sure? Well, I can't think of anything else. I think that looks pretty tight. That looks like what my week looks like. Okay. So I added it up, and guess what? Of the 168 hours in a week, this financial advisor could not account for 41 of the 168 hours. In other words, they're just slippage. Like, who knows where they went? I said, are you taking naps? He goes, no, I'm not taking naps. I said, okay, well, all right. So what I told him to do, and I recommend you do this because in my firm, we do this routinely anyway. I asked this financial advisor to track his hours carefully for a week. And the reason I bring it up is I'm recommending that you do the same thing. If you are not investing more than 50% of your hours on client acquisition, which is very clearly and tightly defined in this program, you only count time that you are face-to-face or on the phone or in a Zoom meeting with a potential client. In other words, a non-client, okay? So I have always gone under the theory that everyone's a referral source. So if you're meeting with a buddy that you went to college with that you know does not meet your ideal client profile, it's still a potential client. Why? Because everyone's a referral source. I mean, maybe they're not a potential client, but I operate under the premise that everyone, and I mean everyone, I know, even if they don't meet my ideal client profile, they know at least one person who does meet my ideal client profile. I may not know who it is, but they know who it is. And the only question is, are they willing to introduce me at some point down the road? But would you accept that if, of your circle of friends and colleagues and associates, that those who do not meet your ideal client profile, if you're being honest, they know at least one person that does meet your ideal client profile. Would you accept that? Well, if so, then you need to be spending, either way, you need to be spending more than 50% of your hours face-to-face or on the phone with, you know, interacting with them directly. In other words, your next client is not in your office. Your next client is outside of the office, and you need to be out there rubbing elbows with them. So I'm asking you to use some sort of a tool online. There are several that are good. The one that we use is called Toggle. It's weird spelling, T-O-G-G, just L. Looks like they need to buy a vowel, but it's toggle.com. And that was all I wanted to cover. If you're not investing more than 50% of your hours each week in face-to-face or on the phone with potential clients, then I recommend you need to start tracking your time and see where the time is going. Because if new revenue generation is your objective, you're not going to meet your goals as far as revenue if you're investing less than half your time on client acquisition activities. So that's all I had. That's it. I have for this month. If in the future, if you have questions, I see that we are cleared of all our questions. If you do have questions, that's really the whole point of the program. Each month we push out a module to you, but it's up to you to take action. And once you start taking action, we know that you're going to have questions. So contact us. If when you log into the Advisor Pack Monthly program and you click on Contact Us, as I mentioned, you're going to have one of the options to leave me, in essence, a voicemail and explain what you're struggling with. Like, what is the obstacle or the question that you've got, or what is the obstacle that you're currently facing that's preventing you from moving forward? I need you to explain it to me. If you type out a question, it will just go to my staff and my staff will do their best to answer it. But if you want me to see it and you want me to respond directly, you'll leave me that message and I'll respond. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. So that's it. Until next month, I wish you all the best in implementing. And I'm Mark Little.